Blog Talk Radio.
I'm not going back. I'm moving ahead. Here to declare to you, my past is over in you. We got to speak to God every day and let him know I'm thankful, Father God, for the do-over. I'm thankful, Father God, that you gave me a new day. I'm thankful, Father God, that I'm not the way I used to be. I'm not who I used to be. I am new. I am brand new because you made me brand new. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God who causes us to triumph in his holy name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for a new day. Thank you, Lord, for a new me. Hallelujah. Be grateful every day that God gives you a new day, that he gives you hope in the future, that he gives you everything you need and more than you could ever ask or think. Hallelujah. Hallelujah this morning. I'm having a hallelujah morning. You know, there's some things that go on and you think, oh my goodness, it's the end of the world. Nothing is the end of the world until it's the end of the world. And the only one that knows when it's coming is God. Hallelujah. Don't fall for the okey-doke. Don't fall for what everybody's saying. Well, this is lining up and that's lining up. All we have to do is live every day in just a few minutes. And then you don't have to worry about how you're acting. Hallelujah. Treat God as he's coming every day. And then you're all set because he's with you wherever you go. Hallelujah. I'm thankful, y'all. All I can say is shout out to my pastor for a service that was so Holy Ghost filled on yesterday. And I just shout out to our praise team who ushered in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. That's why we go to church, to feel God's presence with the company of others. More prayer, more power. And when all saints are praying together, it's something about the presence of God. I felt the angels of heaven with us on yesterday. Oh, what a day. Thanking God, thanking God, thanking God. And a shout out to our sister in Christ, Evangelist Shannon, who is relocating to Wichita, Kansas. So I say to my brothers and sisters who are moving forward, listeners in Wichita, God will show you our sister in Christ, because believe me when I say this, she will be out there evangelizing somewhere and you will meet her, because that's just who God has called her to be, a pretty super evangelist who will go where God says go, who will do what God says do without hesitation, without anything. She'll be up and gone. And all you can say is, okay, God, you're moving her again. He'll say, yes, I am.
And that's how it is, and that's the way it's going to be. And you just say, thank you, Lord, keep her safe. And you keep on moving because she's doing her assignment. So shout out to our sister in Christ. May the Lord watch over you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord let his light and his warmth shine upon you and give you peace with the decision that you are making to follow God, because that's the only decision that you can make. Hallelujah. Thanking God for his day. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning grateful, thankful, blessed to be your children, knowing that you, Lord God, are always in the midst, that you love us more than we can love ourselves, that you have mercy on us when we can be something else. But you call us each by name. You know us each individually, and you know our heart's desires. Father God, correct us when we're wrong and praise us when we're right. But you are the greatest Father we could ever have. And we are thankful for our brother and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Love you, God, more than anything. Lord God, I ask you to increase as I decrease. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy sight. For you, Father God, are my strength and my redeemer. And I look to you, Father, for hope in the future. For everything, I look to you. For you are the author and the finisher, and you know everything. My past, my today, and my future. And Father God, I put myself in your hands. Mold me as your clay and guide me as your child. In the name of Christ Jesus, the love of my life, my brother, my friend, my Savior, it's in his name as he intercedes for me. I pray. Amen. Hallelujah, y'all. I'm all giddied up this morning. We are starting in a new book. We are in Hosea. And I'm telling you, all I can say is this prophet was phenomenal, because I don't know too many men who would say, when God said, marry a harlot, would say, oh, sure. When you don't know if it's mama's baby and daddy's baby, but you accept your children, come on now. He did what God called him to do, because everything that happened was to make a godly point. And when God says do something, you don't have a choice but to do it, whether you like to or not. And he had to do some serious soul search to marry this woman who was a harlot and liked being a harlot. Come on now, call it like it was. She liked being that round-the-way girl. But he did what he was told to do, just like we must do what we are told to do. Because when God says do it, you got to do it. You know, and folks don't always understand where you're coming from. Folks will think that you're different and that you might be a little on the Looney Tunes side. But don't worry about what people think. Do what God calls you to do, and do it with all haste and excellence, because God is in charge of your life. So don't worry. If God says, marry a harlot, men of God, marry a harlot. If you never know, you might be the one that's changing the hot life. Come on. There's a Gomer out there that God is going to send one of his men of God to. Deal with it and watch God work in her life as he works in yours. So let's get into the word. Hallelujah. And the word of God says in Hosea chapter 1, the word of the Lord that came to Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, when the Lord began to speak by Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, go take yourself a wife of harlotry and children of harlotry, for the land has committed a great harlotry by departing from the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Deblan, and she conceived and bore him a son. Then the Lord said to him, call his name Jezreel, but in a little while I will avenge the bloodshed of Jezreel on the house of Jehu and bring an end to the kingdom of the house of Israel. It shall come to pass in that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. And she conceived again and bore a daughter. Then God said to him, call her name Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no longer have mercy on the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. And we know that did happen. That's exactly what the Lord did. He took them away. Yet I will have mercy on the house of Judah, will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, or battle, by horses or horsemen. Now when he had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she conceived and bore a son, and God said, call his name Lo-Ami, and you are not, for you are not my people, and I will not be yours. The number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered, and it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there it shall be said to them, you are sons of the living God. Then the children of Judah and the children of Israel shall be gathered together and appoint for themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great will be the day of Jezreel. Say to your brethren, my people, and to your sisters, mercy is shown. Bring charges against your mother. Bring charges, for she is not my wife, nor am I her husband. Let her put away her harlotries from her sight and her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked and expose her as in the day she was born, and make her like a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst. I will not have mercy on her children, for they are the children of harlotry. For their mother has played the harlot. She who conceived them has behaved shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers. Give me my bread and my water, my wool and my linen, my oil and my drink. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up your way with thorns and wall her in so that she cannot find her path. She will chase her lovers, but not overtake them. Yes, she will seek them, but not find them. Then she will say, I will go and return to my first husband. But then it was better for me than now. For she did not know that I gave her grain, new wine and oil, and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. Therefore I will return and take away my grain in its time and my new wine in its season. And I will take back my wool and my linen given to cover her nakedness. Now I will uncover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and no one shall deliver her from my hand. I will also cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, her Sabbath, all her appointed feasts. And I will destroy her vines and her fig trees, of which she said, these are my wages that my lovers have given me. So I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall eat them. I will punish her for the days of the Baals to watch. She burned incense. She decked herself with her earrings and jewelry and went after her lovers, but me she forgot, says the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will allure her, will bring her into the wilderness and speak comfort to her, and I will give her vineyards from there and the valley of Archer. As a door of hope, she shall sing there, as in the days of her youth, as in the day when she came up from the land of Egypt. And it shall be in that day, says the Lord, that you will call me my husband and no longer call me my master. For I will make from her mouth the name of the Baal, and they shall remember by their name no more. In that day I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, with the birds of the air, and with the creeping things of the ground. Bow and sword of battle I will shatter from the earth to make them lie down safely. I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice, in loving kindness and mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. It shall come to pass in that day that I will answer, says the Lord, and I will answer the heavens, and they shall answer the earth. The earth shall answer with grain, with a new wine, and with oil. They shall answer Jezreel. Then I will show her to myself in the earth, and I will have mercy on her who has not obtained mercy. Then I will say to those who were not my people, you are my people. And they shall say, you are my God. Woo, hallelujah. What a word this morning. And it says this, what the Bible says about knowing all of God. Hosea chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. Whether you make a commitment to God years ago, I have yet to ask him into your life. There always remains much more to learn about him. We will never have a full understanding of his nature and ways while we live on earth. Once we enter into a relationship with the Lord, however, he promises to reveal more of himself to us. Hosea 19, chapter 2, 19 and 20 says, I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice, in loving kindness and mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. He has betrothed or engaged his people to himself for one reason, to let himself be known. When you discover something new about God, the proverbial light bulb goes on, giving you a greater desire to know more, grasping one of God's traits through his word, and then seeing it come to life through our experience deepens. Our humility, as we see God's sovereignty unveiled, we better understand our need for him as we see how great he really is. We see how small we are by comparison. Our gratitude, instead of coming to God with complaints about our unfulfilled selfish desires, we come to him with adoration and praise. We love to shower him with thanksgiving. Thank you, God. Our hunger, when the Holy Spirit sheds new light on a familiar verse, one we've read many times, we want more. We take great delight in his word and want to mine it for his fabulous treasures. Our reverence, as we come to terms with the depths and heights of God, our awe of him intensifies. Our desire to please God when we have a right, holy, respectful fear of the Lord. Our desire to satisfy self is transformed into a desire to please God. As we pursue God, he will fulfill the desires he has given us, Psalms 37 and 4. Yet even as he meets those desires, our longing for him continues to grow. The goal remains the same, less of us and more of God. Praise the Lord this morning, y'all. And in our chapter 1, life lesson from Dr. Stanley, in verse 10 of chapter 1 of Hosea says, in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there it shall be said to them, you are sons of the living God. Even in judgment, God shows mercy. Throughout the prophet's declarations of awful judgment are intertwined with promises of restoration and mercy. We owe everything to God's grace. Dr. Stanley, you preaching to us this morning. We owe everything to God's grace. He woke you up this morning. He started you on your way.
He gave you a brand new day. Hallelujah. We got to give God praise. Thank you, Lord, this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy, your goodness, your kindness. Thank you, Lord, for just being who you are, a great and mighty God. Hallelujah. Hosea chapter 2, verse 16. You will call me my husband and no longer call me my master. Hallelujah. The Hebrew word Isha means husband, while Bela means owner. The first word expresses the deepest desire of God's heart for us, that we will know him intimately as a wife knows her mate. Hallelujah. You don't have to look. God's already got it planned. Thank you, Jesus. Hosea 2 and 20, I will betroth you to me in faithfulness. Come on now, you shall know the Lord. God extends his loving kindness to us. Even when we stray from him, as we test the waters of worldly desires, only to find ourselves drowning in them, God remains loyal to us, rescuing us and restoring our desire for him alone. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for your grace and your mercy. And above all, thank you, Father, for your love. Let's continue in Hosea, and it is good. I told y'all it was good. Woo! This is a great word this morning. And it says this. Then the Lord said to me, go again, love a woman who is loved by a lover and is committing adultery just like the love of the Lord for the children of Israel who look to other gods and love the raisin cakes of the pagans. So I brought her for myself for 15 shekels of silver and 1 1/2 homers of barley. And I said to her, you shall stay with me many days. You shall not play the harlot, nor shall you have a man. So too will I be toward you. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred pillar, without ephod or teraphim. Afterwards, the children of Israel shall return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. They shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. Hear the word of the Lord, the children of Israel, for the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying, killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break all restraint. Again, hitting them 10, aren't they? Swearing, lying, killing, committing adultery. That's just five right there. And I'm sure that was many more. And it says that they break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. Therefore, the land will mourn, and everyone who dwells there will waste away with the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. Even the fish of the sea will be taken away. Now, let no man contend or rebuke another. But your people are like those who contend with the priest. Therefore, you shall stumble in the day. The prophet also shall stumble with you in the night. And I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Did y'all catch that? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge. I also will reject you from being because you have forgotten the law of your God. We can't forget God. We can't forget his word. And if we go to a life lesson from this chapter, chapter 3, it says this, they shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. As Dr. Stanley says, we may know what it means to fear the Lord, but what does it mean to fear his goodness? Hosea means that the goodness of God to us is so great and undeserved that it ought to make us tremble. God loves us. If he didn't love us, he would have destroyed us by now, just like he did in the days of Noah. Because let's call it straight. There is a lot of wickedness in the camp. And it's a lot of wickedness in the camp of the Lord. Come on now, call it.
We got to understand that God sees everything. He knows everything. And he wants the best for his children. He wants us to be the best that we can be. But we can't be the best we can be until we know the Lord. We got to know God. We got to know him as our personal Savior, Jesus Christ. We got to know him as our Father, who is there with us all the time, who loves us more than anything, who's always got our back. Man will let you down, but God is always there. He said it. He told us in his word, I will never leave you or forsake you. I will be with you until the end of days. Doesn't he tell us that? And understand, all we got to do is think about what we've just read in the book of Daniel. When Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego were thrown into that fiery furnace, who was with them? It looks like the Son of God. Hallelujah. When Daniel was in the lion's den, who was there with him? It was Jesus. When we're going through our fires of life, when we're going through our lion's den, when we're going through the storms, when we're going through, who do you think holding your hand and picking you up when you fall? It is the Son of God. It is our Father. It is the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Not trying to preach this morning, but the word of God just does something to my spirit. Hallelujah. We are blessed beyond measure to be children of God and to be his wife. Women, to be the wife, the spouse of God. To know that you are loved. To know that you are loved. He said, I will betroth myself to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are special. We are women of God. And he is betrothed to us in the spiritual realm. Hallelujah. You are never alone, ladies. And I'm speaking to widows and singles out there. You are not alone. He's always there with you, watching over you, keeping the snakes in the grass away from his precious, precious cargo, from his precious women of God, crowned by you to the soles of our feet, by our loving, 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 loving betrothed. Hallelujah. And as we go into this word, it says the children of a sovereign God, we are never victims of our circumstances. Woo! Come on now. Yo, circumstances cannot dictate who you will be. Your past cannot dictate who your future will be. God does not care who your daddy was. God does not care who your mama was. God does not care who your great-great-granddaddy was. If he was a slug, a rapist, a dog, or just an awful, awful person, God does not care. Your past does not dictate your future. Leave the past in the past. God does not care once you are saved. And this is what it says. Life is not simple. We face many bumps. This is what Dr. Stanley says in this life principle. And turns along the way. The race is real. Say it with me, y'all. The race is real. The battle continuous and the painful experience is piercing, but our environment determines neither our circumstances or our reaction to them. Chapter 11 of Hebrews is populated with men and women who endured despite adverse circumstances. You may say, well, sure, they endured. I mean, look how their story turned out. Well, they didn't know how their story was going to turn out. And you don't know how yours is going to end either. So how did they demonstrate such strong faith in God? They did so because they understood God knew how everything was going to turn out.
it made perfect sense to them to entrust their futures to a sovereign Lord. In the fifth grade, a young man, now a pastor, had to memorize the entire chapter of Hebrews 11. This is Dr. Stanley giving a story. His mother says that exercise probably became one of the most important parts of his education. Although he went all the way through seminary, he committed to memory this repertoire of godly people who endured. When he went through a rough time in the ministry, the Lord reminded him of these great people of faith who endured. When I look at the Bible unseen cloud of witnesses, I think of Joseph, who endured through life was so unfair. I think of David, who endured though he was so lonely. And Moses took no shortcuts through the land with his grumbling people. I think of Peter, stumbling and falling, and getting up again and again. We can say, God, if they endured, so can I, because you are just as sovereign today as you were then. You love me just as much as you loved them. Although I spent little time with my grandfather, he greatly encouraged me. And this is, again, Dr. Stanley speaking on his story. Once he said to me, Charles, obey God and leave the consequences to him. That statement from an encourager has sustained me through many battles. And I'm going to give that to us from Dr. Stanley. Obey God and leave the consequences to him. When you obey God, everything else falls into place. Don't worry about what he said, she said, they said, woo-woo said, or boo-boo down the street said. Do what God says, and then you will feel better. Because then you will feel convicted like you're doing wrong. You will know that you have done what God has called you to do. Hallelujah. We got to do what God calls us to do. If God says help someone, you help them. If God says leave them alone, you leave them alone. If God says step back because I'm in charge, you step back. Because sometimes God will allow folks to go through hardships so they will depend on the source, which is God. Hallelujah. And it goes on to say from Dr. Stanley, God knows the Christian life is not easy. It will never be easy, no matter how long you live. There is always a battle. You will deal with the world, the flesh, and the devil until you die. Satan is not going to say, well, he is 62 now and retired, so I guess I'll give him a break. The enemy has an incredible record for perseverance. Come on now. Endurance requires something that doesn't come easily. We have to stand for something and against something, and we can do that only by trusting in a sovereign God. When the going gets rough, and it will, we can't run away. We can't quit. The longer we push the limits, the stronger our faith becomes. We become ready for greater service and expanded ministry. We become strong, stalwart, and steadfast. A woman noticed a friend hobbling along. When she asked about the problem, her friend seriously answered, I'm trying to lose weight through exercise, and my personal trainer is killing me. We have a personal trainer who wants us fit for the race, but who will never kill us. In the meantime, he knows our individual racetrack. He knows the pace we need to take. He knows what goals he has set for us. He knows what makes us weary. He is sovereign. We endure when we remember how he endured, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, Hebrews 12:2. The one who endured the cross lives in you so that you can endure yours. If you stumble, he is there to pick you up. If your trail gets narrow or the ridge is out, don't turn around. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't quit. Endure. And I just want to add this. When we keep our eyes on Jesus, we can walk on water. Hallelujah. And then Dr. Sarah says, when you receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior, he set you on your course. He had it all mapped out. As your sovereign Lord bumps quick turns, detours, up hills, down valleys, everything. He didn't just fire the starting pistol and hope you could finish, find your way.
He sent the Holy Spirit to indwell in you. Hallelujah. You aren't running alone. You don't have to clench your fist in order to endure. Just recognize that your sovereign Lord is with you in every situation and call upon him to infuse you with his power. Not by might. Hallelujah. By his power. You are never a victim of your circumstances, for your sovereign God has determined to use everything that happens to you for your blessing and his glory. Can the church say amen this morning? Woo! I see you in chapter 4, and it says this. And I'm going to go back to verse number 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge. I also reject you from being preached to me, because you have forgotten the law of your God. I also will forget your children. The more they increase, the more they sin against me. I will charge their glory into shame. Change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people. They set their hearts on their iniquity, and it shall be like people, like priests. So I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their deeds. For they shall eat not, but not have enough. They shall commit harlotry, but not increase, because they have ceased obeying the Lord. Harlotry, wine, and new wine enslave the heart. My people ask counsel from their wooden idols, and their staff informs them. Beard of harlotry has caused them to strike, and they have played a harlot against their God. They offer sacrifices on the mountaintops and burn incense on the hills, under the oak, populous, and therabrus, because their shade is good. Therefore, your daughters commit harlotry, and your brides commit adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they commit harlotry, nor your brides when they commit adultery. For the men themselves go apart with harlots and offer sacrifice with ritual harlots. There are people who do not understand will be trampled. Though you, Israel, play the harlot, let not Judah offend. Do not come up to Gilgal, nor go up to Beth Avon. For swear an oath, saying, as the Lord lives, nor swear an oath, saying, as the Lord lives. For Israel is stubborn, like a stubborn calf. Now the Lord will let them forage like a lamb in open country. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let them alone. Their drink is rebellion. They commit adultery continually. Her rulers dearly love dishonor. The wind has wrapped her up in its wings, and they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifices. And I have a couple of more life on it. Says this, my people are destroyed. Why? For lack of knowledge. If only in the Lord we find life. When we had better make it a priority to learn as much about him and his ways as possible. And that means spending prayerful and extended time in his word. You fall for the okey-doke. When you don't know the word yourself, you fall for anything that some folks say. You can hear somebody reading the word and say, uh-huh, ooh, yeah, that's what the word says. But then you don't realize they just read that whole word out of context, totally out of context. They took a snippet and made it into a whole sermon and took it totally out of context. This whole word that we just read today, we could take a snippet and make it into a whole sermon out of context. And this is what the word of God says. They shall eat but not have enough, because they have ceased obeying the Lord. When we obey the Lord, we can take a little and make it stretch a long way. But when we disobey, he can take a lot and make it seem like nothing. Been there, done that. I got a lot and can't seem to have enough. T-shirt. Come on now. The choice is ours. We got to understand that none of us are perfect. We all fall short, but God's glory is God's glory. And what he does because he loves us. We are loved by God. And this is the word that God gave me for our title this morning. It comes out of this Psalm 38, 138:7-8 word. And it says this, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me, is our title this morning. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hand. He is the potter, and we are the clay. We are the works of his hands. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for perfecting that which concerns me. Hallelujah. Give God glory this morning. Give God thanks this morning. Give God praise this morning. For he is God and he loves us. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. And what Dr. Stanley says in the life lesson for that word is this, what happens when a society rejects God's revelation and everyone does as he sees fit? You get a culture that looks a lot like the perverted one described in the book of Judges, and it never works. And we better understand, if we don't get back on the right path, we are going to become a messy, messy nation. This group hating that group. This political party better than that political party. This person saying that they are this and that person saying that. A lie becoming a truth becoming a lie. News becoming fake. Everything is different than it should be and what it's not. We got to trust God and say, Lord, you got me. You lead me. You show me. And God will give you discernment when you ask for it. And what you discern may not be what you want to see, but it will be the truth. And the truth is what sets us free. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God who causes us to triumph in his name. And as we go into 1 John 4, it says this, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this, you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. Listen to what people are saying. Listen to what they say. Don't just think because there's some mega pastor or some big shot, this or that. Listen to what they say. And if it does not line up with the word of God, keep moving. Just because they're on the radio, just because they're on TV, don't mean that they're of God. And this is what the word tells us. As men and women of God, we got to listen. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Can you say it with me? You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore, they speak as the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this, we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another. But love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world,
that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. Hallelujah. And we have seen and testified that the Father has Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. Say it with me, y'all. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. And now you know where it comes from. James chapter 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. Get that in your arsenal. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. I'm going to say it one more time so it gets in your spirit. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. But he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? Commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Praise the Lord. God is telling us. Hallelujah. He has given us direction, that we can't get caught up in foolishness. We can't get caught up in hate and deception and deceit and lies. If you love me, take care of me. Take care of yourself. If you love, love just as much. And I'm speaking, and I know there's going to be some that's going to get angry with me when I say this. If you can love a fetus and go in and make all kind of laws for it, love the children when they get here. Don't be complaining about, well, they having babies because they trying to get money. Did you just not say you for life? So what would you have preferred they do, have an abortion? But you say you're against abortion? Then take care of the children that are here. Complaining about your money. My tax dollars is going to take care of the children when they get here. Love that child that's born just as much as you love the fetus. Love the children that are in this world. Take care of God's creation that he has put the breath of life in. Quit being hypocrites. Love is what God has said. We got to love the children that are here. Quit talking about it. Be about it, ministry. Work with the foster care system. Help somebody that has children instead of talking about them. Don't be so concerned about what's inside and not as concerned about what's outside. Take care of God's children and quit talking about it. Be about it. And I'm speaking to all my my pro-lifers out there. Be about life, all life, not just what's inside a woman's body, but what comes out of it. Take care of God's children.
looking at each and every one of you who are legislating somebody else's body. You better take care of what comes out of it. And let me see you legislate child care. Let me see you legislate education. Let me see you legislate more for life than putting children behind bars and putting people in prison. Give more toward education and child care and early start so babies have an opportunity, good health care for those that need it. Quicken about it, be about it, because God is watching. I love God and love your brothers, love your sisters, and love the children that are in this world. Take care of God's creation. And quit talking about a whole bunch of foolishness. Get up and do what's right. Because I'm going to say this. I am pro-life. But I help anybody I can that has children. Because I know that I'm saying I am against abortion. Because I wouldn't be here, God, that I am. And I'm going to help those that I can. Because God is about life. All life, and take care of what God brings into the world as you talk about what's not even here yet. God loves us all because we were knitted in our mother's womb. That's God's word. He knew us before we came into this world, and he knows us when we come out. Help quit hindering what can't help God's people and these children when they come here. For every legislator out there, if you are pro-life, then be about God's business of taking care of those children when they get here so no babies being abused and murdered because they're not wanted. I'm not digressing. Let me get back to some life lessons from our word this morning. And this is a word that God has given us. 1 John 4:4. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Anytime we resist some temptation, overcome some spiritual challenge, or triumph in a contest of faith, we do so because God's spirit lives in us. We move ahead in a walk with God by relying on his power, not ours. Rely on God, family. And I say to my Christian brothers and sisters, again, God, I'm sorry, he keeps putting it in my heart. I'm going to speak what God says, speak. As you said in your churches, with your judging, hateful spirits, when you see some young woman pregnant, remember, you are pro-life. And you wrap your arms around her. And you love on her. And you give her help. And you quit judging. You quit it. Quit judging. And start loving. And show her what God is about. And that he's about love. And he could care less about anything else. Quit being judgmental hypocrites. Lord, I don't know who that word is for. But I tell you this. God is watching everything. How do you treat unwed mothers? How do you treat teenagers who are pregnant? As you talk about being a pro-lifer, about God's business and love. Love with all your heart. Surround with all your heart. And give God glory with all your heart. The last word that I have this morning is this, 1 John 4:8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And Dr. Stanley says this, to be transformed into the image of Christ, God's ultimate goal for us, means to increasingly reflect his loving character in our behavior and attitudes. Therefore, if we are not becoming more loving, we have taken a wrong turn somewhere. Love for God is not merely a warm sentiment or a pleasant feeling. It is a living, active force that changes who we are. Jesus himself forever connected love for God with love for people. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40. And again, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. The Lord will perfect what concerns you. The Lord will perfect what concerns his children. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. God's mercy endures forever. And the one thing God has said today is love. If you love God, you can't be running around here hating anybody. Love is love. You got to love those that are unlovable in your heart. You got to love those that may not agree with you on everything. You love them anyway. Because God wants us to be his. And when you are his, you know how to love. Love is patient and love is kind. And remember that in your heart today. God wants to perfect everything concerning you. Why? Because he loves you. And that is all I got this morning. I got filled up, y'all. Because I just keep seeing all this stuff. You know, God wants the best for us. And I just thank him this morning. And a word from Sister Carolyn this morning is this. Walking with God, you will experience enemies, storms, and disappointments. Just keep walking because eventually the scenery is going to change. Have a moving on Monday. And she just hear everything we talked about this morning. Today. And so I thank God for our sister in Christ, and I thank God for her gift. And I thank God for each and every one of you. Be blessed, family. And remember, if you don't think of anything else from this word today, just love. Love your brothers. Even as Hosea had to love a harlot named Gomer and make her his wife. Why? Because God said so. Whatever God tells you to do, just do it. What work in your life? Thank you so much, family. And we got 90 seconds, and I thank God for every one of you, and I praise him. I love him. And I ask God to watch over you. And as we pray every day, may the Lord watch between me and thee. While we are absent one from each other, in the precious and holy name of the matchless Savior, Christ Jesus, I pray over you and yours. Be blessed, family. It is a wrap.